Well, amen. Thanks again for letting us come. We've been looking forward to this. That meal was delicious. How many ate part of that meal? Raise your hand, you ate part of the meal. I want to know which ones will be sleeping here in the next few minutes. You know, it's nice of them to give you padded pews and new ones at that. You can actually look like you're paying attention and you're not. All righty. But yes, I got the oldest Betrel, but I got the best Betrel. I'm letting you know. I know there's a few other copies, but I got the original. And so I'm very, very thankful for that. There's no doubt about it. Y'all a little quiet tonight. Are you always this quiet tonight? Nod your head. Make sure I'm talking to live people tonight. Hey, by the way, when I got in, I was a little concerned about Brother Sister Armacost. And Mrs. Armacost, I have not seen you with your husband until just now. And I'm just guessing that what I heard was true. And, you know, Baptists have a way of telling stories about people and passing things on. Now, you all don't do that, but there are other people like that. And I heard about Brother and Sister Armacost, that Mrs. Armacost was out shopping and she stole some things. I'm guessing it was true. Anyway, she put some things in her cart and she wasn't going to pay for them. And she went out and the security guard stopped her and said, Mrs. Armacost, you cannot take this stuff. This is what I heard. And she said, I'll take whatever I want. I do whatever I want. And so anyway, the security guard says no. So he called the police. Police came, from what I understand. I'm not trying to put a blot on your reputation here. I hope you understand. I just figured this was common knowledge. But so anyway, what I heard is that the police officer came and she told him off. Said, hey, listen, I tell my husband what to do. I'm telling you what to do. I'll steal whatever I want to steal. And so I'm guessing, so they arrested her. All right, and so she had to go stand before a judge, and the judge looked at it, and I'm telling you, in the courtroom, Mrs. Armacost, I'm sorry, I hate to share the dirty laundry, but she just told the judge, say, listen, you know, I'm X amount of years old, I won't tell you how old that is, and she said, I can do whatever I want, and the judge says, no, you cannot do whatever you want, you cannot be stealing things. He looked at the report and said, I see that you stole some vegetables and some canned goods here. One of those canned goods was a can of peaches. There are 8 peaches in that can, and I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to sentence you to jail for one day for every one of those peaches in that can. You're going to go to jail for eight days. And I was told that Brother Armacost was in the courtroom, and he raised his hand. And the judge said, I'm sorry, I know you're a husband, but I can't do anything about this. She can't just steal. And Brother Armacost said, hey, I understand, but I just want you to know she also stole a can of peas also. And that's the story I was told. And so, anyway, you know, pray for their marriage, amen? But anyway, I'll tell you what. So I walked in tonight, and I saw your Christmas tree, okay? And it's been a long time. I was here 30 years ago, Chris met my wife here. And so I don't get to come back very often, but it's been a joy. But when I came in today and I saw the Christmas tree, I like Christmas trees. How many like decorating, you like the festivities? I like that. As soon as I walked in, I liked how things looked at the front. But I remembered the time that I had a Christmas tree. Did I tell you about the time I had a Christmas tree? Somebody didn't like my Christmas tree? So I was 25 years old when I took my first church, same church I'm at, but I was 25 years old. And I didn't know any better. We didn't have any children. And a lady come to church and she said, hey, listen, I'm having problems. Can I meet with you? Well, I said, sure. So the next day she comes and I lived in the church's apartment there on the church site, church building inside the church apartment. So she comes into our house, and we were decorated for Christmas, my wife and I, and I did not know any better. So my wife was working around the corner in the kitchen. I was sitting in the living room, ladies across there. And she looked at my Christmas tree, and she says, you have a Christmas tree? I said, yes, we do. She says, you worship that Christmas tree. I said, man, we don't worship the Christmas tree. I said, it's just part of the holiday season. And so I said, so what'd you come to talk to me about? She got a couple more sentences in about talking about things. She said, you worship that Christmas tree. She could not get the Christmas tree off of her mind. All right, now, and my tree was not as big as your tree. Normal size Christmas tree. So she gets really mad at me, and she stands up and says, you worship that Christmas tree. I said, ma'am, we don't worship that Christmas tree. And when she stood up, she started cussing at me. And she'd already claimed to be a Christian. And I know, I mean, it just came out of my mouth. I said, well, that's really Christian. Well, now she's really getting mad. So she starts to walk toward the door, and I'm walking behind her. I don't even know who she is. She comes to church the night before. She wants some counseling. And she's cussing at me as she's walking toward the door. And every time she'd cuss, I'd say, that's really Christian. She cussed again. I said, that's really Christian. And when she got to the Now, this was a farm woman. She's probably in her 40s. I was 25 years old, okay? But when she slapped me, it startled me. I mean, she hit me so hard it rang my bell. I'm just telling you, as quick as she slapped me, I slapped her back. And I slapped her as hard as she slapped me. All right? Now, I'm not bragging. I should not have done that. But when she slapped me, I didn't see it coming. And so when she slapped me, she went, boom, boom, I slapped her back. When I slapped her, she said, "You slapped me." And I said, "You slapped me first." I'm 25 years old, just had taken the church. She had left. Whenever I had a problem, I always called my father. My father's in heaven now. I always called my father. So I got on the phone immediately. Now, my wife, she heard the slaps, and she came around the corner as quickly as she could. But it was too late. I was already abused. So I call my father. He's been pastoring several many, many years. And I said, "Dad, I got a problem." I said, "This lady I don't even know came to our house, wanted some counseling. She came to our house, didn't like her Christmas tree. And I said, she slapped me." And my dad said, "Son, those things are going to happen. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine." And then I said, "I slapped her back." And my father said, "Son, what are you thinking?" And so anyway, he gave me some good advice after that. But that's so when I see a Christmas tree, I think of that woman slapping me. That's what I'm telling you. But anyway, that's my only story that I, you know, for years I would tell that story, but I never told anybody I slapped her back. So 8 or 10 years after being at Heritage, I know them that well at the beginning. I didn't want to tell them I would go around slapping women. And so 8 or 10 years after I'd been there, I told that story in church, and I told the rest of the story. And when I said I slapped her back, you could hear across the auditorium. And then I just told him, "But she slapped me first." It didn't go over very well, but it worked, all right? But anyway. All right, I want to preach just a short message to you tonight. You're not hungry, you're full, and you're ready to go. So again, I just want to share a quick thought. Grab your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 3 tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. 30 years ago, I went to school with several of the folks that are in the auditorium, and I just want to tell you, you look old, all right? But anyway, I know, everybody ages, don't they? I tell you what, some people I didn't even recognize. But anyway, Brother Scott Bollinger, the only thing he looks different, he's got this beard now, and it's got white all through it, and he didn't have that when he was in school. But it looks about the same. Brother Lyle Geist, you and I played basketball together. I won't tell you what you look like, all right? But you definitely look older, too. So anyway, you can tell me later how bad I look, but anyway, everybody's aging. All right, we're going to look for Samuel chapter 3. Are you okay tonight? If you're glad you're in church tonight, say amen. If you're glad you're sitting next to the person you're sitting next to, say amen. If the person next to you needs to get right with God, say amen. Okay, good. Revival is starting to hit. All righty, good. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3 now. Look at verse number 1, familiar story of Samuel. The Bible says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep, but the Lord called Samuel and he answered, 'Here am I.' And he ran unto Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou callest me.' And he said, 'I called not, lie down again.' And he went and lay down, and the Lord called yet again, 'Samuel.' And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And he answered, 'I called not, my son, lie down again.'" Verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in its place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel. Our text tonight is verse number 7. I want you to look at with me in verse number 7. The first phrase says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord." I want to talk to you for just a few moments on this thought tonight, "not yet." And may the Lord use this word. Let's go ahead and ask the Lord's blessing. Would you pray with me tonight? Our Father in heaven, thank you again for letting us be at the Fairhaven Baptist Church. I ask you to please again bless your people tonight. Lord, help us not to miss what you have for us. Lord, thank you again for the Christmas season. And most importantly, for you sending your son Jesus to die for us. Lord, if there's somebody lost in the service tonight, not saved, Lord, would you draw them to yourself? Again, would you have your way in the service? May you be honored and glorified in all that's said and done. Thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church family, Samuel here in verse number 7, this phrase really stands out in my mind. It said, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. In fact, the word yet is used again in the last part of the verse. It says, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. You know, I think sometimes in our Christian life, we get impatient when it comes to raising our children, or even when it comes to people, like if you're a pastor, as far as kids that are growing up, that you want them to know the Lord immediately. You want them to know God. You want them to know God's will for their life. And can I just tell you that sometimes it doesn't happen in the timing that we'd like for it to happen. My wife and I have 8 children. Our oldest one's out of the house, still have 7. And I'm just telling you, sometimes my children irritate me, all righty? Now, I know I'm at the Fairhaven Baptist Church, and all the kids from here are good kids. And your children never irritate you, okay? But there are people out there that it happens to, and I'm one of them, okay? And I think to myself, is this kid ever going to get it, all righty? And I'm just trying to tell you tonight that sometimes our impatience is because it just has not happened yet as far as what the Lord wants to do in the people that we're ministering to. I want to tell you something as a pastor. Sometimes, if you're not careful, we get impatient with God's people as far as we want them to get to where God wants for them now. And sometimes it doesn't happen like we want it to happen. Isn't it interesting in 2 Timothy chapter 4 when Paul, he said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. The word long-suffering there means patience. In other words, everybody sometimes going to start as a baby Christian. Sometimes a person's in a backslidden state, but they come to a place where maybe they're not where they should be or could be, and as a pastor where you want them to be, but the goal is it just has not happened yet. Now, can I just tell you tonight, there might be somebody in the auditorium tonight, you came to the Christmas banquet tonight, and you've heard the gospel again and again and again, as far as Jesus, he's the one that paid for your sin, but you haven't received Christ yet. And tonight, I want to look just briefly at this passage, and I want to tell you that there's some things that took place in Samuel's life that caused him to get to a place where he heard the voice of God. Samuel, Samuel, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. We have 2 books of the Bible mentioned with Samuel's name on it. We've got Samuel, who's the great prophet of Israel. We have Samuel, who was the one who anointed the first king of Israel, who did great things for God. But there was a time in his life he didn't even know who God really was. And I want to tell you, I don't know where you are in your spirituality tonight, and I'm not sure exactly who the message is for tonight. And you might say to yourself, Pastor Hanks, you're talking out of 1 Samuel tonight. What does this have to do with Christmas? I want to just tell you, anything in the book has to do with Christmas, because the book's about Jesus Christ. And can I just tell you tonight, when I look at Samuel's life, there was a time in his life that he went through all the motions of what we would call New Testament Christianity. He went through all the motions of being at the tabernacle and serving Eli the prophet and all these things in his life, but he still did not know God yet. And you look at the scripture, there's only 2 ways to know God. One is for salvation, one is for sanctification. And again, I won't take time to do a Bible study with you tonight, but Philippians chapter 3 talks about, in chapter verse 3, verse 8 and 9, talks about knowing him for salvation, taking on Christ's righteousness. When a person comes to know Christ, they get saved. They get born again. But there's a secondary, and tonight, I would say tonight, that I would guess, that the majority of the people that's in the auditorium tonight, you're saved and on your way to heaven. How many know for sure you're saved? Say amen. Amen. There's been a time in your life where you realized you were a sinner bound for hell and you accepted Christ as your Savior. But can I tell you that since you've been saved, you ought to be striving at Philippians 3 verse number 10, that I may know him. Not knowing him for salvation, but knowing him on a regular basis of reading our Bible, praying, spending time with God, that I might know him better. My wife, in a week or two, we celebrate being married for 32 years. My wife's got a ton better memory than I do, all right? Do you have that you get the better memory in your marriage? I'm sorry, let me ask. Mrs. Dameron, who has the better memory? That's what I thought, all right? He can't even remember if he has a good memory, all righty? Answer my question, thank you very much. So I don't have the best memory, and it's just a fact, and so I'm not going to try to fake it, okay? So we go to a restaurant. My wife and I, of course, we still have 7 children, and when it comes to ordering, my wife can name off every meal that those children will eat. This one is like a hamburger. He wants it no pickle, and he wants only ketchup. This person over here, you know, no, don't put any lettuce on this one here. This one over here, they would like to have French fries. I mean, she knows everything about the children, exactly how to order. Now, I just want to tell you, if I'm ordering for them, we're not doing that. I'll take combo number 4, 5, and 7. If they don't like it, they don't eat. It's real simple. But I want to just tell you, when it comes to memory, I think my wife, again, I'm sure she's the better Christian, but she understands, she remembers things better than I can remember them. But the longer you're married, there's things that you just know about your spouse. You know how they like things. You know what they want, what they don't want. And why is it? It's because the more time you spend with them. By the way, as a husband, I think we have a tendency not to know our wives like we're supposed to. In the scripture, there's 13 things a man's supposed to do for his wife. You're supposed to love her, honor her, cherish her, nourish her, cleave to her, be ravished with her love, rule over her, pray for her, be an example to her, know her, rejoice with her, be kind to her, and not be bitter against her. Now, I really fail on the knowing part because my mind is 1,000 other places except knowing, okay, I wonder what she'd like to do here. I'm thinking, come on, dear, let's go. All right? But can I just tell you that one of the responsibilities of a husband with their wife is knowing your wife. Can I just tell you one of the responsibilities of you as a Christian is knowing God? Amen. Does God know everything about you? Yes, he does. And amen, that's exactly right. Are you a college student?
Yes, sir.
What is your name?
Ray.
What's your last name?
Tompkins.
Man, you look like a Wright. My roommate at Fairhaven Baptist College was Anthony Wright. I have a crown in heaven for that 1 year. Is Anthony here tonight?
No.
He's where?
In Africa.
He's in Africa? That's where he deserves to be. Tell you what. Anthony and I had a great time together. Anthony, as a roommate, he just had this thing that he did not like staying in our room. There was only 3 of us. It was me, Juan Figueroa, and Anthony Wright. And now you really feel sorry for me. My freshman year, and Anthony decided that he never wanted to stay in his room. So every night, he would go to another room, find the empty bed, and sleep in the empty bed in another room. He was never in our room, and you wonder why those rules are in the rule book. Anthony Wright. Can I just tell you that the more time you spend with somebody, the more you're going to get to know them. And I'm just trying to tell you tonight that Samuel was at a place in his life, and we don't know the exact age, but the Bible says very clearly, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Now, can I tell you tonight, you might be the person tonight that's not saved yet. Maybe somebody invited you and you came to church just again maybe tonight to the banquet as a favor to them. Or maybe some other situation. But they talk to you about Jesus Christ and they tell you how Jesus Christ died for your sin and you have to repent of your sin and how you need to receive Christ. And you're still maybe taking all those facts in and you have not put your faith in Christ yet. There's others of you in here that are saved tonight and you know Christ is your Savior. But really, that's almost the extent of it. In other words, when you wake up in the morning, he's not the first thought. When you go throughout the day, it's not a matter of it in all thy ways acknowledge him. You're not thinking about, God, what do you want me to do? Which path do you want me to take? Where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to say? But can I just tell you that all of us need to come to that place where we know him. Amen. And I mean know him in a, if I can say, an intimate way, a close way. And here Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And I look at Samuel's life and I see that there's several things that he did until he did know the Lord. Can I quickly point them out to you tonight? And again, I'll just be just a few minutes, but look at chapter 2 with me. In chapter 2 in verse number 11, and Elkanah went to Ramah to his house and the child did minister unto the Lord. In verse number 18, again, but Samuel ministered before the Lord. In chapter 3 in verse number 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. Hey, can I tell you, you might not know the Lord like you should, and you might not know the Lord like you want to, but can I just tell you that if you keep serving the Lord, it eventually happens. The reason Samuel came to a place in his life where God came to him, stood by him, Samuel, The reason that happened is because Samuel was in a regular, from a child, was in a regular motion of serving the Lord. Now listen, I know that we can get to a place in our Christian life that everything gets to become habitual and not real. But can I tell you, serving the Lord is what's going to get you to the place of knowing the Lord. Fairhaven Baptist Church needs Christians who are servants. Heritage Baptist Church in Lawrence, Kansas need Christians who are servants. I know the tendency, if we're not careful, is just to be a viewer and not a doer, to be a sitter and not a servant. But can I just tell you that we as Christians, we ought to look for ways that we can serve. And by the way, the more we serve, the more we get to know Him. Something else I see, not only because of His service, look at the next thing. Look at chapter 3, verse number 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there were no open vision. When he says no open vision, no word from God. Look at the end of the chapter now, chapter number 3, look at verse 21. And the Lord appeared again unto Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Just really, we're not like Samuel's situation where we hear from God an audible voice, but we are in Samuel's situation because of the book that we hold in our hand, because we believe this is the very word of God. This is how he speaks to us. This is how we know him. You know, all of us as Christians, you know, we if we're not careful, we have a tendency to put this facade on of Christianity. But can I tell you something? Your Christianity is not what you look like when you come to church. Your Christianity is not just that you came to church. Your Christianity is what you do with God when you're not at church. You don't get to a place where you outgrow of reading the Word of God or spending time in prayer or talking to him and walking with him. That's how we know him. Again, I'm going through these four things very quickly, and I'm going to sum it up here. But look at chapter 3, look at verse number 4. Again, I'm not going to read all the verses again. But notice in verse number 4, and the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto who? Who's the person he ran to? Eli. Who was Eli? He was the man of God. We notice that he runs to him the first time. And he goes to Eli, and Eli says, hey, I didn't call you, go lay down. He calls him the second time. He said, I didn't call you, go lay down. He calls him the third time. By this time, Eli says, hey, there's something going on here. I think the Lord might be talking to you. Now, Eli was not a good example of a man of God. He didn't restrain his sons. God said, I'm going to punish you because of being disobedient to me, honoring yourself instead of honoring me. There's several things about Eli that was not good. But the one thing for sure, he was the man of God. Can I tell you what causes you to know the Lord? It causes you to know the Lord because you serve him. It causes you to know the Lord because of being in the Bible. But it also causes you to know the Lord because of listening to the man of God. Hey, Samuel did exactly what Eli said to do. Samuel, speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. He did exactly what Eli told him to do. And guess what? He heard from God. You know, we as Christians, we do not believe in dictators. And I know that. This is not the papacy. You know, we don't have a pope. We got a word of God. We understand the offices that God has placed in our lives. You know, it's amazing to me. Christians do not mind getting advice from the man of God as long as they're doing right. But if they're not doing right, they don't like to get the advice. I was a school teacher before I became a pastor. And when I taught in a Christian school, and then I taught college level stuff too, it was very interesting to me that whenever I gave extra credit, I don't know how it is here, but I've proved this all of my teaching all of these years, that whenever you give extra credit, it's usually the A student that does the extra credit, and the person who's making a C, D, and F, they don't do the extra credit. That's beyond my mind. How dumb can you be? Just nod your head. How dumb can you be? Are you in college?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I thought so. Are you an A student? You be honest, because there's people listening.
No, sir.
All right. B student? C student? Never mind. We better stop right there. If a teacher is going to give you extra credit, then you should do the extra credit, don't you think?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Hey, can I tell you something? I had a guy come to the pastor, and here's the parallel. I had a guy come to the pastor, and to me as his pastor, every year he'd say, Pastor, is there anything in my life that I need to change? My life, my wife, my family, is there anything? And every year that he would come, there was nothing that needed to be changed. He was training his children right. He had a good relationship with his wife. He was a servant at the church. There was nothing I had to tell him. But I want to tell you something. When he got sideways with the Lord, and I went to him and said, hey, listen, I think you really need to reconsider something. You know what he said? You need to mind your own business. Church, I mean, we have to go back to understanding that Eli was not the best man of God, but he was the man of God. And you know what happens to us in our Christian life? If you want to know God, you want to know what God's will is for your life, why do we as Christians make major decisions in our life, whether making a move or changing a job or getting married, and we never once stop and say, Pastor, what do you think? It doesn't matter if you're quiet. I hope you're thinking. Because I want to just tell you something here. If you're going to know God, then you need to use your man of God. If you're going to know God, you need to be in the book. If you're going to know God, then I'm just trying to tell you that you're going to have to do exactly what Samuel did to be able to know God. And there came a place in his life where he finally knew him, but there was a process. The process of serving and being in the book and listening to God. The last one's kind of obvious. It's in verses 10 through 14. But in verse number 11 through 14, just the first phrase. And the Lord said to Samuel. Verse number 10, what did Samuel say? God, speak to me. Hey, if you're going to know him, you're going to have to talk to him. You're going to have to communicate with him. Listen, church family, I know you're a little tight because you don't know me, but it's okay. They were doing the Christmas thing back there, and they were all in line to get inside to go eat. I just went down the line to see people. Brother LeBate was there. He's getting old, by the way. All right? Brother LeBate was there. Hey, can I just tell you, I'm a Christian. I'm not a visiting speaker. In your situation, I'm not your pastor, but I'm a Christian. Can I tell you something? As Christians, we ought to be able to communicate with one another. How many of you guys in these rows right here are college students? Okay, can I just tell you what part of your training is? Anybody that walks through the door, you shake their hand. Oh, I can't do that. It's COVID. Well, then sneeze on them. This is ridiculous. How can you study for ministry and not talk to people? I'm going to come in and sit in my seat. Slide over, please. Can I tell you something? The way we treat each other as Christians is the same way we treat God. About the only time we talk to him is when we really need something. And you wonder why we don't even know him. We're not robots and we're not Christian soldiers in the sense of, okay, tell me what to do. This is called, I'm a child of God. And when I got saved, I was born again into his family. There's not any of you in here that do not have children that do not like to communicate with your children. Hey, I want to tell you something. My kids, you know, I want to spend time with them and I want to talk to them, but they think I'm old. Do I look old to you girls? High five. Yeah. That was the right answer. God is going to bless you someday. So my wife and I didn't have our first birth child until we were married for 12 years, okay? So my youngest one at home right now is 10. I will be in the nursing home when they graduate from high school. I do not feel like playing horse and buggy. I don't feel like doing hardly anything. I'm almost to the place now where it's checkers only. But I'm just telling you, I love my kids and I want to try to find things that I can communicate with them because I love them. Can I just tell you, we love him because he loves you. Amen. You can't begin to know him until you talk to him. What did Jesus say to the woman at the well? She says, you must worship him in spirit and truth. And what did he say? The Father seeketh such to worship him. He's looking for somebody to spend time with him in prayer and in Bible reading on a regular basis. Why? Because he wants you to know him like, and I know we can never get to that place where like he knows us, but he wants you to know him. He cares about you and in all thy ways acknowledge him that he has got a plan for your life that he wants to direct you and show you. And it doesn't matter if you're a senior saint tonight or if you're a college student or if you're an elementary student, he's your father. And listen, I want to tell you something. I know sometimes we get really impatient with our children and sometimes, like I said, with church members, but sometimes it's just a matter of not yet. I had a young man that grew up in our church. In fact, to be honest with you, I don't think David was born, probably, Stace. David Smith wasn't even born when I was there, when I first came. 6 months old. So David Smith, I've been there 27 years. So David Smith was 6 months old when I came. He was homeschooled. He came to the Christian college, or college there. We have a small Bible college. I got 13 students this year. It's always been small. But he came through the college. He felt called to missions when he was 8. And so he decided he's going to become a missionary. Well, to be honest with you, I don't want to send somebody out unless I know they're going to be a good missionary. I just feel like it's not fair to all the other churches that are going to support them. If you're not going to be a good missionary, don't go. Yeah. So David, when he graduated from college, he was all ready to start the deputation trail. And I just knew in my mind, he is not ready. And I didn't want to just cook. I just want to say, you're not ready. I don't want to put water on his fire. I said, here's what you need to do. I said, you need to go get a secular job. He had just gotten married after he got done with college. I said, I want you to go get a secular job. I want you to work for a year. I said, you need to figure out, you don't need to just go from college to pastoring people on a mission field. You need to know what they're going to go through, because there's going to be people that's going to sit in that crowd that are going to work 40 and 50 and 60 hours a week, and you're going to expect them to go soul winning, and you've never been where they've been. So he did. So he got done with his year. It ended up almost being a year and a half. And he said, Pastor, I want to go to the mission field. Well, in my mind, I still felt like he wasn't quite ready. I said, listen, now I want you to come on staff for a year. And I said, I want you to come on staff. So he quit his secular job, and he came on staff for a year. And after about a year and a half, of course, he kept telling me, but finally after a year and a half, I said, okay. He said, I want to go to the mission field. I said, okay, that's fine. I said, I think you're ready. But to be honest with you, I still had a little bit of doubt in my mind. So he started deputation in church family. Next month, this is December, January 13th, I think, he will leave with his wife and now 4 children, and he will go to Kenya as a missionary. But I just want to tell you, when he was younger, through human eyes, there's no way. But you know what the problem was? It just wasn't yet. These guys that are preparing for college, we've had college students come through our place, and you're not like this, but I'm very judgmental. Did I pick the wrong person? I can be judgmental. And so I look sometimes at a college student, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't have time to babysit. You should be doing better in your classes, by the way. I do not have time to babysit. If you're coming to college, I don't need your money. I need you to do something for the Lord, because I've only got so many years. Are you a college student?
Yes.
What year are you in?
I'm a freshman.
Are you a college student?
Yes, sir.
What year are you in?
Freshman.
You?
Freshman.
3 freshmen. You know, I don't want to speak for them, but I want to just tell you something. These guys are not giving their lives to ministries that you 3 guys can just be here to have a good time. And I'm being serious. This is ridiculous. Okay, college is supposed to be somewhat fun, but can I tell you something? College is about you doing God's will for your life. And if you can't do God's will for your life while you're here in college, you ain't doing God's will for your life on the mission field or pastor or anything else. You can't turn an assignment on time. You can't get yourself out of bed. You can't even make your bed. Do you understand all those things? That it's not about college life. If you do not have enough character to do the little things in life, then you should never pastor a church, and you should never be a missionary, because you're not going to be able to do the big things of life. So what is college? College is preparation for me to be able to be what God wants me to be in my life. Church family, if we were all sincere tonight, if there was one thing we all could say, I want to know God. There is no doubt there's several of you that are just like me. I just think to myself, God, is my kids going to make it? Church, I mean, do you understand? It's not about me sending my I'm a pastor. It's not about me sending my kids to the Christian school, or having my kids make sure they dress right, or stay away from the wrong friends, or make sure they know what it means to go soul winning and tell people about Jesus Christ. It's simply them knowing God.
Amen.
If they know God, everything else is going to be fine. But we have parents who don't even know God. Yet. You know, these 4 girls down front, there's no doubt that you have a mom or dad that are praying for you, that you'll stay right, be clean, be pure, that you'll walk down the aisle, marry that person that God wants you to marry, and be a helpmeet to them the rest of your life. At the age that you're at now. Now, right now, do you want to get married right now?
Better not.
Good. All right. Right choice. But truthfully, our prayer really shouldn't just be, God, would you please help me pure and clean? Help them to do right. Help them to find the right mate for life. It ought to be, God, would you please let them know you? Do you know, I'm just telling you, I want to know him. I want to know him more. Listen, tonight, I'm done. Stay with me now, I'm done. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, then you can't begin to know him until you know him. Knowing God always starts with salvation. You can't begin to know God until, first of all, you know him as your Savior. And I'm just telling you tonight, in just a moment, we're going to have the invitation. If you're not for sure, if you're a lady, would you come down? Let a lady go to the side. Let them take a Bible. Take just a few minutes and show you what it means to be saved. If you're a man, would you come down and let a man take a Bible and show you how to be saved? But can I tell you, the majority of you tonight, it's not about knowing him for salvation. It's that I might know him. God, I want to know you. I want to know your will for my life. I want to know, I want your direction. I want your power. I want to be pleasing to you. I want you to show me how to be a good father, a good husband, a good pastor. God, I want to know. I want to know. Can I tell you how you know? Keep serving. Can I tell you how you know? Keep reading. Can I tell you how you know? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Keep praying. Can I tell you how you know? Every time the preacher mounts that pulpit, be attentive to what God wants for your life, because sometimes he says things that are really not about what the Holy Spirit's telling you, because the Holy Spirit's trying to tell you something, but something he said triggers that, and God uses the man of God in your life, that I may know him. And maybe tonight, all of us could say, Samuel did not know yet, but I don't want it to be yet. I want to know him. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight?